In today's Mishnah, we're in the 10th and 11th Mishnah from the first Perek of Masechta Ediyot. And this Mishnah really continues from the second Mishnah we learned yesterday. So we're discussing Maaseh Sheni, particularly the exchange of Maaseh Sheni coins. So while yesterday's Mishnah, we're talking about how someone would exchange the money to lighten the load or the amount of coins they have to take to Yerushalayim, here we're talking about how once someone reaches Yerushalayim, how can now they can exchange their money in order to purchase food. As we said, ideally one should use the money to purchase a korban, but they can use that money also to buy other food in Yerushalayim and eat it there. So Mishnah says, Haparet sela shel maaseh sheni b'Yerushalayim, someone's exchanging that money in Yerushalayim. Beit Shammah says, Bechol ha'sela ma'ot, he's got no concerns, one can switch it to, let's say, large coins or to small denomination coins. But Hillel, once again, very similar to the opinion we saw in the second Mishnah yesterday, he says, no, b'shekel kesef or b'shekel ma'ot, which means he can only really exchange half of his money to this smaller denomination. Again, this is based on the same concern we saw yesterday. And that is, if everyone changes all the money to a small denomination coin, soon there'll be a very small supply, and the value of these smaller coins will increase, and that will result in an actual loss when it comes to the buying power that someone has with their Maaseh Sheni coins. Hadanim lifnei chachamim, meaning the Talmidim that used to sit and dan and rule before their Rabban, who were these? Kati Satsa Gemara here, says Shimon ben Azai, Shimon ben Zoma, Chanan Amitri, V'Chananya ben Chachinai. What do they say? They agree with the principle of Beit Hillel that says it's B'shoshah dinarim kesef u'bedinar ma'ot, which really means that once we do the conversion, they can only exchange to these smaller denomination coins a quarter of the larger coin or coins that they bring. Rabbi Akiva says, no, B'shoshah dinarim kesef, u'rit kesef b'revi'it ma'ot, which means, yes, three quarters you wouldn't be able to exchange, and in that last quarter, only a quarter of which you can exchange. So if you do the maths, it's really a 16th of the seller. The Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Rabbi Tarfon says, no, it's arba asperei kesef. So what's arba asperei kesef? Here, the understanding is that a dinar is 5 aspirin, so therefore, if we're dealing with a seller, it's 1/20th of a seller. That's a conversion's way. Butner explains it. Kati brings another opinion, so 1/12 of the seller. Shammai says it completely differently once again, even from Beit Shammai, which is again a pattern of Mishnah, as we're learning. He says, Yenichenu bechano v'yochel kanegda, which means you don't exchange the money at all. You simply leave this larger denomination coin in the shop or the store, and you draw down off that amount as you go along. And this is out of concern that what will happen if you do this exchange, you'll lose track of which coins are the Maaseh Sheni coins, which aren't, and end up using the Maaseh Sheni coins for regular use that you're not meant to use Maaseh Sheni coin for. Let's now learn Mishnah Yud Aleph. Here we go all the way to a Masechta we haven't yet learned in the final Seder, final order of Mishnahs, and it's from Masechta Kalin. The Mishnah says as follows, Kisa shel kala shintal chipuyav, Beit Shammah metamim or Beit Hillel metaharin. So what are we dealing with in this case, and what's the background information you need to know? For certain things to become acceptable, tumah in different ways. For example, if it's a utensil, it has to be defined as a utensil. But there are other forms of tumah that are transferred by if they're defined as something that one sits on, not just that it's a kli, like a bed or a bench. That's important, for example, tumat zav, which we mentioned before, that if a zav, this is a man who's had particular emissions that are abnormal, and he is defined as a zav, the way the Torah describes. Again, we'll learn about that in much more detail in due course, and also in Seder Taharot. Then he'll make that, say, bench or chair into a avatumra, source of tumra itself. So what the Mishnah is debating here is this kisa shel kala, which is like a bridal chair. However, it's been stripped off of its chipuyav. Chipuyav is all the, say, the armrests and the cushioning and the stuff that makes it comfortable to sit on. So Beit Shammai says, well, it still could be acceptable as tumat midras, meaning if someone sits on it, it's still defined as a chair, as zav sits on it, will become a source of tumah. Why? That even though it can no longer be used as this kiseh shel kala, like it was originally intended, it still can function as a chair. Beit Hillel says, no, he says, metarin. He says, since it was designed for this kiseh shel kala, and all these things have been stripped off, it's as if it's broken, and it's like a broken clear or a broken chair, and therefore no longer susceptible to tumah, this tumat midras. Shammai says, af malben shel kiseh. Quenta Shammai, again disagreeing with Beit Shammai, he holds even if you take off the board, say on the seat, and all that's left is the frame and the legs attached to it, then even that would still be tameh because someone could sit on it at a stretch, meaning ideally I wouldn't choose that as a chair, but since one can still sit on it, according to Shammai, it would still be considered susceptible to this tumat midras. It would be still defined as a seat. Let's continue. Kiseh shekavu ba'areva. Now we're taking a chair, and what they've done is they've fixed in a trough, a kneading trough, onto it. And the idea is to effectively turn into a separate kli on its own right. So they can have this kneading trough that basically has four legs attached to its base. Beit Shammai says, metamim. Beit Shammai is of the opinion that since it was a chair initially, simply fixing in this kneading trough to the chair doesn't remove the status of this chair being a chair. It's just a chair now with a kneading trough. So therefore, it's still susceptible to Tumat Midrash. The Zav sits on it, the whole thing will become Tameh, a source of Tumah. Beit Hillel says, Nematahrim. According to Beit Hillel, since you've now fixed in this kneading trough onto this chair, it is now a kneading trough with legs, no longer a chair anymore. To use the language of the Mefarshim, it says, Batel Kise Lagabe Hareva, meaning the chair is effectively annulled to this kneading trough. And a kneading trough on its own, yes, it's a kli, it can become Tameh, but not this form of Tumat Midras that is requires something to be defined as something that someone would sit on normally, like a chair or a bench. Shammai says, Af he'asuiba. According to Shammai, he says, even if from the very outset we built this chair with a kneading trough connected to it, and that's how it was designed, meaning that's like, if you like, it came out of the carpenter's workshop, he would still say that in that case it would still be susceptible to this Tumat Midras. And this is different from the opinion of Beit Shammai, because Beit Shammai says, only in a situation where we dealt with a chair that functioned as a chair initially and attached a kneading trough to it, then we'd say, no, it still maintains its status as a chair. Whereas Shammai says, even if it was never defined as a chair, even if that's how it was formed in the beginning, it still is separate to this form of Tumat Midras, meaning it's still defined as a chair, such as, using an example, a Zav sits on it, it would make it this kneading trough slash chair into this Avatumah. Those are the Mishnah today.